to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Our topic this morning for the month is cultivating authenticity. And for this morning, it's, you know, do you, everybody else is already taken. And what I most want to focus on is this idea of cultivation and what that really looks like. And if you hear whining in the background, that is my dogs who are not happy about being in their crate this morning. That's their authentic expression. So this idea of cultivation takes time. It takes work. It takes knowledge. When we grow a garden, we don't just toss out the seeds and expect to have a great garden. We cultivate. We take out the weeds. We turn the soil. We add fertilizer. We plant, you know, we make our rows all nice and neat, and we label what's in them. And I think sometimes we tend in this human realm to experience a certain level of frustration that our spiritual journeys show up as work. And I think we can, what I want to offer you this morning is that we can easily shift that perspective simply by shifting the word work to get to. See, work is a human concept. It's not a spiritual concept. And our most authentic self that we're cultivating is our spiritual self. And the weeds that we have to pull are all of the conditioning of humanity, of this physical realm. And I think sometimes we forget that every thought that has ever been thunk in the whole history of creation remains eternally active now. It's not some stagnant file where things pop up. Everything is always active in this now moment. And so we always have the opportunity to, as Ernest Holmes said, neutralize thought. I'm really struck by, you know, the word neutralize, because it indicates to me that I can't really eliminate a thought, which makes sense in this concept of eternality. If we could eliminate anything in creation, truly eliminate it, then eternality ceases to exist. And so we neutralize. And then we add what our authentic self is. You know, it's all of those things that Julia read in my bio are things of condition. They're not the authentic me. They are events. They are aspects. They are experiences of the conditioned me. Turning them into a message. The mess is the condition. The message is the authentic me. The Ernest Holmes defines our ego as our divine self. Now, here in this physical realm, the word ego has multiple definitions. I invite you to begin to embrace your ego as your divine self, as the truth of you. It's Women's History Month, and so I want to share this quote with you. Well, first, let me tell you who she is. H. Emily Cady was an American homeopathic physician and the author of a lot of New Thought spiritual writings. In 1896, she wrote a book called Lessons in Truth, which was a course in 12 lessons in practical Christianity. That book was adopted by the Unity Church denomination and is the most widely read book in their movement. H. Emily Cady was born on July 12, 1848 in Dryden, New York, and she made her transition on January 3, 1941 in Manhattan, New York. And here's what she says about cultivating. We cultivate individuality by listening to the still small voice down deep within us and boldly following it, even if it does make us different from others, as it surely will. And that comes from Lessons in Truth, page 73. I think the most poignant part of that is, even if it makes us different from others. Because so much of this physical realm is about becoming like other people. We have these identities. We have these boxes that society would really prefer that we operate in, and that we follow the script that is handed down from generation to generation to generation, and that we stop deviating that script because it makes us collectively uncomfortable. Humanity, the conditioned humanity, really works best in its comfort zone of predictability. That's what our brain gives us, and it's a necessary function. I mean, if every day you went to work, it was complete and total chaos. If you didn't know who your supervisor was every day, if you didn't know what your job was every day, it would kind of be hard to do your job, right? So it's a good thing that we have a certain level of predictability. On the other hand, our authentic self, our creative self, our divine self, is never stagnant. It is always new, every moment. Each of us is going to be different today, having participated in this virtual service, than we were when we arrived. Because that's what creation does. It creates. And so if we can lean into listening to that still small voice, cultivating the courage of authenticity, if you will, being willing to pull the weeds that obscure those tender cotyledons of growth that are just popping their head above the mental soil, if you will, then our human self, our conditioned self, begins to shift and change. Now, I'm not going to lie, that's going to make some people around you really uncomfortable. They're not going to recognize the you that they have decided you are. You won't recognize the you that you've decided you are. And that, I submit to you, is grounds for celebration. Because it means you're growing. It means you're advancing. It means that still small voice within you is being heard. And it's one of the places where I think community is the most valuable thing that we can have. Because if we're all doing this cultivation together, then we have one another to lean on. We have one another to say, I don't know what I'm being called to do, and I'm scared, or I know exactly what I'm being called to do, and it terrifies me. And we get support from one another, and we find out that we're not the only ones experiencing it. In all transparency, I am in love with you, Columbia. Absolutely in love with you. I have been since day one several years ago when Divinity brought us together to do work on becoming more inclusive. Did I imagine this moment? No, not even. And yet here we are. And it's good that you see this mantle behind me, because everything else in this home looks like a bomb went off as we're preparing and boxing things up and filling up a moving pod. And the weather, which is typically lovely this time of year, is consecutive blizzards. If you could see out this window behind me, you'd see about 4 inches of snow that this one in the last 4 hours. So it's kind of cuckoo here in the physical realm. And yet that still small voice inside that knows, that has that certainty that all is well, that our path is divinely guided to be exactly where it is we're going, is an amazing thing to navigate. And sometimes it's a clunky thing to navigate, because it doesn't mean our humanity goes to sleep. We still have stress. We still have, how is this going to happen, thoughts. And it's in those moments that we get to, we don't have to, but we get to lean into our spiritual practice. And there's a reason that we really focus on consistency in spiritual practice. Because just like cultivation, consistency of spiritual practice makes it much easier to grow. Right? When the soil is already prepared, when your mental practice is already prepared, it's much easier to grow something new. I'm going to start wrapping up with this. It's that place, imagine that you have done nothing to cultivate your garden, and all of a sudden, every food source shuts down. Well, now you're scrambling. You're scrambling to cultivate the soil. You're scrambling to create a water source. You're scrambling to find seeds. You're scrambling to learn how to plant things, when to plant what, in order to sustain yourself. And many of us do that with our spiritual practice. We don't engage in a regular spiritual practice. And then when something happens, we're scrambling to anchor. We're scrambling to know the truth of our own being. We're scrambling to experience our wholeness. And so I invite you, if you don't have a regular spiritual practice, start one. And it doesn't even matter what you do. Just start. Start where you are. Just like if you were digging a garden, some people have a great space for a garden. Some people have to build a raised box because they don't have. Some people have patio containers. So start where you are. Reach out to people that you trust. Reach out to the practitioners in our community. Ask them for guidance on how to begin a spiritual practice. If you do nothing else but spend 1 minute a day simply sitting in what's my spiritual practice, you will begin to develop one. Right? Let go of who else has a spiritual practice. Let go of what the ideal spiritual practice looks like, because in all honesty, the ideal spiritual practice looks just like the ideal diet. It's the one you will follow. And so just do you. Just do you. Listen, as H. Emily Cady invited us, to that still small voice and simply ask, what spiritual practice will serve me? Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.